The Swain Event Podcast is driven by Beatty Chevrolet. For your new and pre-owned vehicle shopping needs, visit BeattyChevrolet.com.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
Deep down the middle's got his man and he's gone. Jason Swain, touchdown.
It's time for the Swain Event with your host, Jason Swain.
My man.
Real sports talk for the real sports fan.
All you chumps are going to bow when I whoop him.
It's time for the Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue.
Get into his mouth and a red flag.
Ben McKee, Go Balls 247. I'm Jason Swain, live from the Low T Center Studios. You're listening to the Swain Event. It is Thursday. It's the best day of the week. The 25th, 4 minutes past the top of the hour. Hope you are having a wonderful morning. Ben, you're real close to the camera today, man. What's up, man? You out of town? What's up, Ben?
My setup is what it usually is, so you may need to change the setting on your end to get my real camera.
If it's coming through the computer. Excuse me, sir.
I'm taking a picture right now to prove my point that it is situated. Hold on, real quick, before we continue, do you mind holding your nails up to the camera real quick for me?
They're not painted, man. They ain't painted. Let's go, Bears. Let's go, Caleb Williams.
It's like they're lemonade.
They not painted, man. I don't paint my nails. No, man. I might go get a manicure, but it's been a long time. And if I do, it'll be clear. But well, I ain't painting them a color.
It looks like you painted them clear, the clear color.
No,
because I know you wanted to paint them in support of Caleb Williams, but didn't want the actual paint on your fingers, especially after talking to a football team last night. Probably smart of you to go the clear route rather than the blue and orange. And I know that you would have like the number sign and the 1-3 on one, the number one on one finger and the number three on another finger.
Mm-mm. You know, this finger right here does have some paint on it. This one right here. You want a close up? I think this finger right here got one. Yeah, this one in the middle right there. 865-255-03 is our telephone number. You ain't gonna ruin my day, Bill McKee. You're not gonna ruin my
camera really messed up?
Huh?
Is the camera angle really messed up?
Look at you. You really thinking about it? Nah, man, you all right? I'm just messing.
Well, I don't want people to have to look at me close up. I'm really doing the people a favor. Nobody wants to look at me. Now, my wife did give me a haircut yesterday, and it was her first time
cutting. Whoa!
And it turned out well.
Whoa!
Feeling a little extra crispy this morning.
Whoa! Time out. Did you just say, did your wife cut your hair?
Yeah, my wife cut my hair last night, yesterday afternoon.
You know you can do that yourself, right?
I could, but probably looks better with her doing it. Now it's really, really hard for her or anybody to mess my haircut up. But well, see, the difference is like you don't have any hair at all. I still have a little stubble, so there's still something left
same action
for me to mess up.
It's the same action, man. Take his clippers, and you go over the whole thing. It's the same thing.
Well, I use a different guard. That's
it. Don't matter. It's still the same action. Same
she
energy.
Can do it. She can do it. And I can sit there on my phone and scroll through social media, and she can cut my hair. She gets a kick out of doing it. She trimmed my beard up too. Nice. Got the mustache off the lips. So we good to go.
Yanni,
feeling extra crispy Yanni this morning for the draft tonight.
Some
Tennessee baseball in action. I think it might be a good day or two for Tennessee basketball as well. And no copy in there. So I think it's going to be a good couple of days over here.
Y'all need to stop. Y'all need to stop. Y'all are already doing too much, Ben. Y'all, you and Savannah need to chill out. Y'all need to stop. Okay? Stop. That's enough. You about to be in minivan phase here soon. 865-255-03. It's the NFL draft today, man. Stay focused, Ben.
Lee. No. It's not the NFL draft today. It's Tennessee baseball game day is what today is.
What?
Tennessee baseball plays today. That's more important than the draft, of course. No, I'm kidding. I know people care about the draft more for the most part. It's a fun day. I don't expect any Tennessee players to get drafted today, obviously. I think Friday night will be a good night for Jalen Wright. I'd be surprised if he's not a second or third round running back. But tonight it'll be fun for everybody in their individual teams. I know a couple of Chicago Bears fans, yourself and the great Grant Ramey, very excited to add Caleb Williams to their team. And y'all have a second pick as well. Pick up a defensive player. There's some talk about the guy from Texas who is very talented. Is it Byron Murphy, the defensive lineman?
The one got in trouble.
He'll fit in right next to Caleb Williams.
No, stop. It's done.
But I know Titans fans are really excited today. They've got a big pick, and sounds like they really want the offensive lineman from Notre Dame. Sounds like my Steelers are going to go the route of the offensive line as well. We've been linked to the kid from Duke. T. Higgins might get traded. Trey Hendrickson might get traded. I mean, I think it might be a fun little draft night.
It doesn't really matter if Tennessee has a draft pick today or not. When I make this point. Now, you always want to have a draft pick in the first round if you are a program in college trying to win championships, recruit at a high level. Like, you want to be churning out those first round picks, but you don't really need a first round pick if you are a coach on the staff or a staff member to use the draft to send a message to players in your football program. Every year, players who are in college, man, look at the draft. And they look at guys that they've played against, guys that they've went up against maybe non-conference, in conference. And this is an opportunity for you to kind of measure where you are against those players. And it's a little bit of a time for you to refocus as you get ready to go for Tennessee, as you get ready to go home for mini term. You got a couple weeks. How you going to spend your weeks? Here's a fresh reminder of the goals that you had a couple years ago when you were in high school or when you were in middle school or when you was in elementary school. But now you're in college, and there's been a little bit of distraction, maybe with NIL, maybe with this or maybe with that. And an NFL draft, man, is a reminder like, oh, yeah, I need to stay here. I don't need to go home. Or, oh, I need to refocus. I need to get it back on my grind. You know, for some players who may have, you know, a new kid. As a parent, man, having a new kid is always a reminder. Like, I need to get on my grind, even more so. And so today, Ben, is a really special day for really every college football player in the country that even if you don't have aspirations playing at the next level, still, like, seeing guys reach their dreams, it should inspire you. I think it will inspire a lot of players around the country, including Tennessee's players.
I would certainly hope so, because there's nothing more motivating than trying to get to the next level, I feel like, and trying to secure a bag that takes care of your family, sets up your family to be provided for in the long run. Because as we've had these conversations before on the show, these bags in college are nice, but they're more temporary bags than anything. Maybe the Caleb Williams of the world and the superstar quarterbacks, maybe they can set themselves up a little better long-term financially. But for the most part, these bags that guys are entering the portal and exiting the portal and flipping commitments in the portal left and right and going for a semester and then going back into the portal, I mean – y'all doing too much for one bag, for a bag that I'm sure it's not chump change by any stretch of the imagination, but it's real temporary. And in the meantime, like there's an obvious Tennessee kid, and I'm not trying to call him out, but I had this thought yesterday when we were talking about him. Like, you're here for 4 years, and then you have all these shenanigans over the last 6 months, and it's like now all those connections and ties that you had, that you established while playing football for Tennessee, when you come back home, when football is over, like, that's going to affect you professionally.
Yeah,
you may not realize it in the short term, but it will.
I mean, what's even home?
Correct. So it's like it, and it's just because you're chasing a bag that is a bag of money that is temporary. And so I would like to think that the NFL draft is still the ultimate motivation, because that's a way that you can really, really provide for your family and set your family up in the future. And I think it's also motivating when you see your friends getting drafted. I'm sure college players who are currently playing, especially in the SEC at this level, you know a lot of guys that are getting drafted, whether it be your own teammates or guys you played 7-on-7 with or saw at recruiting events coming up in high school or played in high school against. I mean, that's motivating as well, seeing your peers succeed and get drafted, and not just your teammates, but I think it's the ultra motivating factor for sure. I did want to ask you, because you had the honor of speaking to the football team last night. If nobody saw Tennessee football social media posts, I wanted to hear your thoughts on how that went. You and Ramon Foster both spoke, and I believe the purpose of it, you and I have not had a conversation about it, so don't really know the sole purpose, but I saw Tennessee's tweet look like you were speaking to them about how they can kind of move and manage their brand in today's world of social media and things like that. Well, how did that go, and kind of what was your message to the team there?
Yeah, my purpose, Ramon's purpose, was to come in and just talk about how we made that transition from the playing field to media, and advice that we would give the current players on how to navigate and using the media as a tool, and how to carry yourself and how to be confident when talking to the media. Now, for some guys, man, it's easier for them than other guys. And so, just kind of sharing our personal experience. And I thought Ramon did an awesome job. Anytime you have a guy that's played 11 years in the league and had an opportunity to play Pro Bowl as an alternate, someone that's players respected. I mean, Ramon was a show, man. And that's how it needs to be, honestly. Because those guys are trying to get to the league, and they're trying to get somewhere where you have someone that's played 11 years is speaking. So, like, I thought Ramon did an awesome job, but my message was really clear. It was about having, like, a long-term vision and understanding, like, if you get too close to the picture, you can only see so much of the picture. But when you really step back, you can see the entire picture, and do things today that your future self will thank. Don't think about the small bag you don't get now. Think about the big one that you can get in 10, 15, 20 years by the things that you do now. Because, like, this is a really small window, part of your life, 4 or 5, some guys 6 years in college. But when you compare it to, like, the rest of your life, it's just a small blip on the radar. But what you do can impact your entire life. Like, I mean, dude, I met my wife in Tennessee. That small moment of time impacted my life forever. The relationships that I built at Tennessee during the 4 years impacted my life forever. It opened up opportunities for me. And I've treated people with respect. I've operated the same way now as I did as a player. Just, hey man, you ask me a question. Don't ask me a question if you don't want the answer. If you don't want me to be honest. And hey man, I'm going to be respectful as I possibly can, but I'm going to tell you the truth. I'm going to tell you how I feel. And that's how I've operated. And, you know, luckily it's turned into some success. So I was just trying to, you know, just spit some knowledge there. But we got, it's cool, man, because in my own, and I was talking about this before we talked, is like certain things that these guys have now that, man, if we would have had, we wish we would have had different resources. Man, these guys, they have everything they need to be successful. Everything. Everything you need. Everything. Went down and took a little to-go play after our event. Everything laid out perfectly for you. Schedule, like, you can't mess up. The only way you mess up is if you choose to. Like, if you have your guard up and you choose just not to submit and you choose not to buy in, that's where you fail. But if you buy in, you buy in, you're going to be successful. It may not be in football, because chances are most of them are not going to be successful in football. It ain't happening. Todd Kelly Sr. came in and talked to us one year, and he was like, all right, man, most of y'all not going to the NFL. Only like a couple of y'all going to the NFL. And I was like, psh, 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 psh. He ain't talking to me. He must be talking to y'all over there. He ain't talking to me. I've been playing since I was a freshman. I was an All-American, man. Top 25 player. I don't know what y'all talking about. He must be talking to somebody else. He ain't talking to me. I've been training for this moment my whole life. I'm ready. Like, I'm good. Well, you may get hurt, and then you better have a plan B. And I was able to, and I didn't have a plan B, honestly, but I was able to create one. And here I am now. So, like, that's a real conversation. Ramon had the same kind of example. Merton Hanks, who played safety for the 49ers, remember him with the turtleneck, but he was a baller on that 49ers defense when they won Super Bowl. And worked in the NFL offices, but Ramon told a story about how he came here and had the same comments. Hey, about 4 or 5 of y'all going to the league. And that's just the truth. It's just the truth. So what you do over the next couple of years can really set you up for the rest of your life. Like, I got guys who played before me, with me, after me, that did not use their 4 or 5 years properly. And now they're still scrambling, trying to figure out what they want to do. So it was good, man. It was good. I appreciate the opportunity. You know, Hypo feels like, and this is why it's important to have a guy that played at a high level like Hypo. He's young, so he understands what his team needs and how to help his team. And it doesn't have to be him being the messenger. He doesn't mind bringing in people that can help his guys understand the message. So I appreciate him, because sometimes coaches are really protective about who they allow talk to their team. And they don't want anybody talk to their players because they're afraid of something. And all coaches are paranoid, but Hypo ain't paranoid about that. He knows that we were just trying to help. But it was good, man. It was really good. It was really good. But no, I haven't talked to you about it yet.
Well, I know that you haven't talked to me about it. You've probably spoken to other big wigs around town about it.
No, I ain't talked to anybody, man. I ain't talked to anybody about it. Came home and went in daddy mode.
Man, I feel you. I saw you. I saw you rocking the 11s, looking sharp out there.
Special occasion, man. It's a special occasion. I don't wear them all the time, so it wasn't outside. So I'm gonna get them dirty. It was good. We're gonna have them on for a long time. Perfect occasion. In and out.
Perfect.
In and out. No diddy. Let's see here. I think we need to take a break, Ben. It's about that time. Yo, this basketball team. Woo! this basketball team has a chance to have a more talented roster in 2024-25. Man, I'm excited about it. I'm excited about players getting drafted. I'm excited about... You just said something about a baseball game today, didn't you? Did you say something about that?
I'm going to tell Tony that you're disrespecting this weekend's baseball series.
It's Thursday, man. It's Thursday.
What else you got to do?
Nah, man. Not much. I saw Missouri bus yesterday on campus. I thought about Tony. I was like, oh, yeah. It's time.
Tony's...
It's time.
He's fired up for this one. Not as fired up as when the previous coach was there. Everybody talks about some of these other coaches throughout the SEC that Tony doesn't get along with. The previous Missouri coach is the one that he truly could not despise and the one he disliked the most. And he had a very pointed comment.
All right, we'll get to that comment on the other side of the break. You know how Tony feels about these meat sticks out here. 865-200-255-03. Be right back.
You're listening to the Swain Event.
And you know this, man.
Here in Knoxville, we love it when a squirrel's in the checkerboards. But when there's a squirrel in our attic, that's all sides. When that happens, call Alpha Wildlife. They're Knoxville's veteran-owned and operated wildlife removal company. When unwanted critters put their feet up on your coffee table, call 865-224-6555. Let the Tennessee fans at Alpha Wildlife evict those unwanted tenants and set your home up with a winning defense to keep that wildlife where it belongs. That's Alpha Wildlife at 865-224-6555. They have locations in Nashville, Memphis, Chattanooga, and in parts of South Carolina. Check them out online at alphawildlife.com.
Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare.
Beatty Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Beatty Chevrolet.
What's up, Swain Event crew? Always happy to be with my friends in the morning. So, everybody has a next chapter in life, right? And sometimes that includes a move. Your next page may have a growing family, or maybe an empty nest, or possibly a move back home. When the time comes, I'll be here to help. Just give me a call. Jennifer Morris, Keller Williams Realty, 865-694-5904. And check out my website, nextmovesmokymountains.com. As always, go Vols!
Looking for a different way to enjoy the show?
Yes!
Then check out Swain Event TV on YouTube.
Swain Event, SwainEvent.com, fueled by Dead End Barbecue, top 100 barbecue restaurant in America. Benjamin?
Jason?
You said something about Antonio Vitello, man. He think he's slick. He ain't slick. His comments, I love it. You know I love me some Tony Vitello. Hey, man, don't tell Tony I'm not hyped about the Missouri series. The Kentucky series was what I was hyped for. Missouri's not that good.
I already shot him a message and told him that you were disrespecting his baseball program this morning.
Man, I love the baseball program.
Look, I'm with you. I'm not super fired up about this particular matchup. I'm fired up for some SEC baseball. There's only two home series left. This one in South Carolina, and then it's postseason. Now, that is for the regular season, and currently at Tennessee's current rate, they are on pace to not only host a regional. That is a pretty safe bet at this point, unless the wheels just completely fall off over the next month, which shouldn't be the case because you get Missouri this weekend, Thursday, Friday, Saturday. Next weekend, you do go to the Swamp, but that's not as difficult of a place to play as people make it out to be because their fans are the most overrated fans in the country and the most fair weather fans. They have to plead for their fans to show up after they win a national championship. But Florida baseball still has a ton of talent because it's Florida baseball. But that's a team that's kind of been spiraling out of control outside of Jack Caglione. Jack Caglione is ridiculous and so much fun to watch. Impressive, like you just said. But outside of that, they're a little dysfunctional and have some things to sort out. So even though that's on the road, even though they do have talent, I mean, Tennessee's the better team going down to the Swamp. The following weekend, you go to Vanderbilt to play the Tim Corbin Cheaters.
Oh, yeah. We saw that stuff on your glove. What's that stuff you had on your hand, man? You over here snitching on Tennessee about bat stickers. What you got on your glove there, Vanderbilt pitcher?
I guess Tim Corbin won't ask mid-game to check Mike Honcho's bat this time around when they're in Asheville, because Tony can request a, can you go look at that guy's glove out there on the mound, see if he's got anything in it?
Tony should do it.
That'll be a tough series, though.
Tony has Vanderbilt, to do it, man. Tony has
Tennessee,
to
do pretty evenly matched. I think Vanderbilt has a little bit more pitching. And then I think after that, you come back home and play South Carolina in the regular season finale. Something along those lines. So the schedule isn't as brutal as maybe as it once looked. So they're in prime position to host a regional unless the wheels completely fall off, like I mentioned. And not just a regional, but a super regional. So possibly back-to-back weekends in Knoxville in the postseason. But in terms of the regular season, there's only two more weekends left, which is hard to believe. Baseball season has gone quicker this year because basketball went so long. And on top of basketball making a run, conference play started a weekend earlier this year, I believe because of the leap year. So baseball season has flown by. And I'm not too thrilled about Missouri or anything like that. I'm with you. But it's still SEC baseball and Tennessee baseball as the season starts to wind down, especially the home season.
I'm just saying, man.
But Tony's fired up for it.
I can assure you of that.
Now, he loves the current coaching staff that is currently at Missouri. Kerrick Jackson, he's in his first year. He was the coach at Memphis last year and did a really good job. Kerrick Jackson, according to Tony, replaced Tony when Tony left Missouri. And then Tim Jameson, who was Tony's coach at Missouri, is now back at Missouri as the pitching coach. And then Tony also said a guy named Bryson LeBlanc is on their coaching staff and I guess is their recruiting coordinator. And Tony recruited Bryson when he was coming out of high school. So there's a lot of familiarity, a lot of great relationships for Tony on that staff. And he was talking about those relationships. And that's when it kind of started to go off the deep end for Tony in that particular answer.
He had a flashback.
This is the most, in my opinion, like out of all the comments Tony has ever made, this is the worst one for an opposing coach to come out of Tony's mouth. He was talking about the familiarity with the new staff, and then he kind of went back to the past staff, and I'm going to read his quote word for word.
What you got, man?
Talking about staying out of the current group messages with the new staff, and I went on a tangent out there. Our guys, so long after, personally, selfishly, I'm glad they're there. I'm glad that other thing is over with, other thing being the previous coaching staff. That was a nightmare. I worked 90 hours a week at that place, and I went to school there and gave it about everything. everything I do here, I did there. While that other regime was there, you name it. My dad was in a life-threatening car accident, and I'm getting yelled at in the third base box. Many other things, too. I'm glad that that's over with, and there was a change. So, not
I feel that.
Not the quote that's necessarily going to grab the headlines or get tweeted or anything.
I respect it.
What's that?
I said I respect it. I feel it, man. Like he played there. Like, that's home in a way. It ain't no different from you had me saying what I was saying during the rough times, Tennessee football, Butch years and Pruitt years. I mean, it just hit different because that's your school, and you hate to see, you know, people running into the ground. And you're going to say something. I respect it. I know exactly what you're talking
about. And those quotes don't reflect well on that previous head coach. And from my understanding, his dad and Tony's dad and Tony's sister were in a life-threatening car accident, as Tony mentioned, with his dad. And somebody told me that they're both lucky to be alive. And this is why, while Tony was at Arkansas and they were playing against Missouri, and Tony's in the third base coaching box and getting yelled at by that previous head coach while he's dealing with the emotions of his dad and his sister having just been in that car accident. So not the cheerleading quote that came out of Lexington this past weekend, but if I was an opposing coach, that would be the last reference that I'm being referred to that I would want mentioned.
Yeah. Oh, man. Beatty Chevrolet text box. On your free Swain Event app, throw in questions and comments. Chip Payne, do these players that keep jumping into the portal and going from school to school, they don't think that could affect the draft stock? I mean, for some players it could. For some players, it may not. I mean, it's just like a player failing a drug test or smoking a bunch of weed. Hey, man, if he's a baller, he's a baller. The rules are not the same at the NFL level. There's other things that will scare teams off from you as a player. Now, if you hit the portal here and there, for me, it's – I'm talking about the guys who hit the portal, like, multiple times. You have to question, do you really love football? Or are you just in love with what football can provide for you? That's the red flag. But if you have a player like a Caden Proctor who, hey, man, he wanted to go home. And then he went home and realized that home was trash. And he wanted to go back to where he was. And he goes back to Alabama and he's tearing it up. I don't think him transferring twice is going to affect him at all.
You don't think that it will affect him with Iowa people? Back home after NFL his playing people. Days are over?
No, we're talking about NFL. Chip Payne said affect their draft stock. Draft stock.
I think it's yes and no.
Draft stock? Why would you care if you're a scout whether he transferred Iowa back to Alabama? If he goes back to Alabama, he's kicking ass. Who cares what he did when he went to Iowa?
Because with that, we know the reasons. I'm just saying I would want to ask the questions. If I'm evaluating a guy – and I see that he's been to, like, the basketball player from Ole Miss this week that entered the portal, and he's going to be at his fifth school in 5 years.
I'm talking Caden Proctor. That's what I'm
I
just,
know.
Just
Let him. Me finish my point. I'm saying I'm just going to ask the questions, why are you transferring? With Caden Proctor, I don't have a problem with Caden Proctor because I understand his reasoning.
Yeah.
That I'm not going to have a red flag with that one. But when I dig into Tyler Barron and other guys, like, I'm going to plant a red flag. Because they've been transferring a bunch, because there's more reasons there than the ones that Caden Proctor has.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, multiple guys who transfer multiple times, I'm going to ask the question, do you love football? Do you love what football provides? Caden Proctor would be different because he just transferred, tried to go back home, and then went back to Alabama. But, you know, guys like Tyler Barron, he's going to ask them tough questions to answer, man. Tough questions to answer. And that the NFL evaluation process is not going to be easy for him at all. So that's why it's important for him to have just a really, really great year on the football field.
In hindsight, don't you think he just should have gone to the draft anyways after this past season?
Could have, but I think another good, because last year was like his real first solid season. I think following that up would have helped him. But yeah, in hindsight, going to the NFL draft rather than transferring twice, hell yeah, man, he should have went to the league.
And I'll be honest, like it was kind of cool to hear Rodney talk about Tyler at the beginning of this past season when he was talking about how Tyler's more about the University of Tennessee and Tyler's no longer about Tyler anymore and how he's taking a step. And I'll be honest, it's hard for me not to, like, those comments are water under the bridge or kind of one ear and out the other year at this point. It's
which ones?
I'm not saying that Rodney was wrong or anything, but like Tyler's actions to me have almost erased those comments, if that makes sense.
Oh yeah,
because it genuinely seemed like he turned a corner, because what the public has seen this offseason, Tennessee has been privately dealing with for the last several off seasons, and it truly seemed like Tyler had turned a corner and was really about to take off like he did this past season on the field and turn it into a nice step in the direction of a professional career. And I would say, by the way he's moved this semester, that's eliminated those thoughts for me personally.
That's fair, man. It's really hard to come to the defense of Tyler with, you know, these multiple transfers. I said this on yesterday. Personally, he's always treated me with respect. I've had a good encounter with him. I don't have anything bad to say about my direct actions or direct interactions with him. But I do know of several instances that we probably should have handled differently here at Tennessee. But, hey, man, you live and you learn. And hopefully he learns from that, and he's a better player and better teammate and can play a lot of years in the NFL, and hope he makes a whole lot of money. Remember a couple of weeks ago we had on George Ewart, owner of Dead End Barbecue, to talk about Saturday's event on May the 18th. It is the Major League Eating Contest. It announced a new contest here in Knoxville, 2024 Ultimate Bologna Showdown. It's going to take place at the University of Tennessee Rec Sports Field Complex at 12 p.m. that Saturday. Knoxville County Mayor Glenn Jacobs is going to take on eating champion Joey Chestnut. I don't see Mayor Jacobs having a chance, but it'll be fun to see him try to out-eat Joey Chestnut. So details are online. All I got to do is just Google Major League Eating, and it'll pop up there for you. Their website actually is majorleagueating.com, so you don't have to Google it. It's right there. Majorleagueating.com. QC Rodney's the other McKee says, saw an interesting quote about Caleb Williams, NFL GMs, being scared of drafting him. I respect dude's talent. Cats are built different these days. What do you guys think? I think that this is a time of the year or time of the year where anonymous quotes are thrown out there and you got to take them with a grain of salt, because there's a lot of shade being thrown at C.J. Stroud last year. No quarterback was criticized more at this time of the NFL draft than C.J. Stroud. Who was the best quarterback in last year's rookie class? Who was the top five quarterback in the entire league last year? That was C.J. Stroud. So, yeah, like Caleb Williams ain't like everybody else. Cool, whatever. But the dude wants to be great. The dude has an unbelievable high ceiling. And he's going to be a Chicago Bear. It's simple as that. We'll see how his teammates respond to him. Because that's really all that matters. Like, dudes got families, man. Like, dudes ain't about to hang out with you every day. You come in, you do a job. Are you going to do your job and help me do mine? That's all the people care about. That's all people care about.
You can get a pretty good idea, obviously, if you do the proper research and vetting. But I also kind of think it's an inexact science as well, because I know you like to mess with me all the time. Anthony Edwards had some red flags coming out of Georgia, too.
No, he did.
He did.
No, he did. They were red flags to you. They were red flags to you.
Yeah, that was obviously, I look like a clown. That was a bad take in hindsight.
You know what, man? Won't you add some context to this point? Because this is a great point by you. This is good.
But Anthony Edwards, I mean, coming out of the draft, he was talking about how he loved football more, and there were questions about how much he loved the game. And for me, that's a turnoff. Like, if I'm considering drafting somebody or evaluating somebody's stock, and they're talking about how they don't love the game and how they'd rather be playing this sport. For me personally, that's a red flag. And that was a red flag for me, for Anthony Edwards coming out of college. And obviously that was a red flag that did not need to be planted, because Anthony Edwards might be the next face of the NBA, is already one of the best players in the league, has been one of the best players in the league, but has truly rounded into form this season and taken off, and looks like he's only going to continue to take off. So I'm a huge Anthony Edwards fan now in hindsight, but to me that kind of speaks to, you just don't really know 100%. Like, you can do your research, you can do your homework, you can vet, you can talk to high school coaches, college coaches, friends, family, and you can have a good idea, but I don't know that you know 100% until you actually get that person in the situation and see how they react. Because yeah, again, for me, those comments were red flags for me coming out of Georgia for Anthony Edwards.
Yeah. Yeah. That's why it's important for, and I wish I would have said this last night, but that's why players need to understand that NFL teams are looking for reasons not to draft you. Like, they're not looking for reasons to draft you. They're looking for a reason not to draft you. And you have to make sure you give them the least amount of reasons by your game film, the things that they find out about you and your character from when they talk to the janitor, they'll talk to the equipment manager, they talk to just random people around your athletic department. Like, they're going to ask everybody about you. And so they're comparing you to every other player at your position. And when one thing is equal with athletic ability, all right, who's more intelligent? Who has a better, stable circle, less distractions. I mean, all these things are considered. All right, go back to the text box here.
Well, I want to add to QC Rodney's question. I know I've been messing with you about the nails and the skirts and the dresses, because Caleb Williams has been wearing those at times. That's truly me just messing around. That does not bother me at all. If he can play football, if Russell Wilson or Justin Fields was painting their nails and leading the Steelers to a Super Bowl, I'd turn around, and by the time the playoffs rolled around, AFC championship game, I'd have my nails painted black and gold too. And singing black and yellow with Wiz Khalifa. I'd be all in on it. So I don't really care what people do in the free time and their perception of kind of their style and things of that nature. I'm sure I have a style that some people think is weird or corny or whatever as well. We all have our things that we like, and that doesn't fit everybody's likeness. Your likeness doesn't have to be approved by everybody. So that stuff I really don't care about. But with that being said, I do get a weird vibe with Caleb Williams. I can't really put my finger on it, but I would have a hard time. I mean, he's ultra talented. There's no debating. I mean, it's kind of the Anthony Edwards thing all over again, although this time around, in each situation, you couldn't deny the talent, But with Anthony Edwards, it was, okay, there's this talk about him maybe not loving basketball. Whereas with Caleb Williams, that isn't necessarily the talk. It's more of like personality traits and how that's going to fit in with a locker room and as a leader. Very Kyler Murray-esque is the feel that I get with Caleb Williams. So I'm very curious to see how he works out in the league, because there's something that just feels off personality and leadership wise for me with Caleb Williams, based off of how he has moved throughout his college career, which leads me to, I wanted to ask you.
Now, let me ask you something. Thoughts. Let me ask you something. Now you do a lot of talking. Let me ask you. Have you heard one thing about his ability to lead Oklahoma and USC? One issue. One issue.
No.
Okay.
But I think the results on the field speak for themselves.
Oh, yeah, they do.
And I think that he was coddled by Lincoln Riley at Oklahoma and USC. And that is not going to do him any favors once he gets to the next level.
Bro, every quarterback at his stature
they weren't,
is coddled.
They weren't. Yes, they are, but not to the level that Caleb Williams, when they're making sure that they don't do media and things of that nature, like just no access to him whatsoever. Like, Caleb Williams was treated different.
That's
than
not a fault of Caleb Williams, though. That's a fault of Lincoln Riley.
But my personal perception of when I see other clips out there of Caleb Williams talking, like the one he had with Ryan Clark, which I wanted to ask you about and get your thoughts on that, when he expected to start over Kyler Murray or start over Spencer Rattler at Oklahoma when Spencer was projected as a first round quarterback. I can can be a good thing and a bad thing to me, of like, you love the competitive aspect of it, but it also seemed very, very unrealistic. And when you have a very unrealistic situation like that, it can cause a lot of problems as well.
I'm gonna let you move on with your next point, because we can talk a whole show about this.
I just get a weird vibe. I'm not saying he's gonna sink or swim. I'm just saying it feels a little. I don't think he's a sure thing at all. Because I don't know that the personality is going to allow him to be a bona fide NFL quarterback. I get Kyler Murray vibes. I do. Maybe I end up looking like a clown here in a couple of years, like I do now with my Anthony Edwards take at the time.
Golly,
but I think Caleb Williams is ultra talented. I don't know that he's fit to be a leader in an NFL locker room. That's my true feeling. Maybe I look silly in a couple of years for that.
Well, I hope you make the same point as you made with Anthony Edwards. I hope the same thing happens. Real D from the 423 says, Ben over here trying to talk down on Caleb, hoping he falls to the Steelers.
No.
DZ in Milwaukee says, Jalen Wright to the Cowboys. Love the pick, Swain. Tell Ben to keep his Steeler lips sealed. DZ must be a Cowboys fan. JC and CJ and JC says, odds of anyone but Caleb Williams going first. Caleb Williams going first. Like, they sent Caleb Williams, the Bears sent Caleb Williams to dinner with some of the team leaders. Like, the players already.
Oh, yeah. They're going to Topgolf together. They're going to. Now, I already do look silly because I forgot that Caleb Williams will have the best fullback in the NFL leading the way for him, and that is something that I should have considered. So I rescind my comments about Caleb Williams, because Caleb Williams doesn't need to lead, because he has Corey Blassingame to lead for him.
Go back to the text box.
Do you think Jayden Daniels and Drake May, what are your thoughts about them as they enter?
Jayden Daniels better than Drake May to me.
I agree.
I would take Jayden Daniels.
Am I allowed to have that point? Am I allowed to say that I think Jayden Daniels is going to look good in the NFL, be a good NFL quarterback? Is that okay with you?
I mean, that's fine. I mean, I don't. That's fine. I mean, makes every throw. He's mobile. Durability is a question. I mean, because he takes hard hits. Can't take those same hits at the next level, but I'm a big Jaden Daniels fan. I would have been cool with him at 1-2. But I think there's a drop-off. And I think Michael Penix is not getting enough talk because he's super accurate with the football. And he just got beat up versus a Michigan team that Washington just couldn't block. And Washington had one of the best offensive linemen in the country. But I like Michael Penix. I think his injury history could be concerning. But, man, the dude is super accurate with the football. And he's also mobile. Nelson from Jackson says, I want Brock Bowers in Nashville. Dude, I want Brock Bowers in Chicago. Chip Payne says, I've been cutting my hair since I was 25 years old. Do better, Ben. Cut your own hair, my brother.
No. I'm going to be lazy, and my wife wants to do it, so I'm going to let her do it.
We used to make fun of my position coach, Pat Washington. He's come in and be like, yeah, my wife cut my hair. And, man, we used to tear his butt up, man. We used to joke on him so bad. Woo! We was on him. So when you said that, it made me think of P-Dub.
You're welcome for bringing back memories. There's two quarterbacks that I would avoid in this NFL draft. First one being Bo Nix.
I like Bo Nix.
Second one being somebody we watched quite a bit of last season.
See, you and your feelings, man. How you going to avoid Bo Nix? Dude was balling out at Oregon the last 2 years. You going to fault him for what happened at Auburn?
He is a good college quarterback, Swain.
Fix your face.
You shut your face.
All right, what you going to say? What you going to say about Bo Nix?
He's not accurate enough to play.
All the quarterbacks suck, except Jaden Daniels, according to Ben McKee.
No, that's not true. I said I like Caleb Williams. I just don't know if he's able to lead a football team, and we'll find out if he can, because the football teams that he has been on have been a disaster from a leadership standpoint. Okay. So, but I like Bo Nix, but I think his athleticism is what allowed him to be successful at the college level. I don't think he's accurate enough with the football to work out in the NFL.
Not accurate enough with the football?
No. Mm-mm.
It's time for a new policy on the Swain event.
You know we're talking about Bo Nix, right?
It's
we're not talking about Jane Daniels or Hendon Hooker or Peyton Manning. We're talking about Bo Nix.
It's time for a new policy. Yeah. Mm-hmm. We, starting today, Ben, we drug testing. We drug testing starting today. I'll be at your front door, man. I'm going to show up like them dudes, the NFL players. Remember when DK Metcalf made that video where he jumped like 62 inches, and next day, somebody there to drug test him. You about to get drug tested, Ben? It's boy, Bo Nix.
What if I'm the one that's right and you're the one that's wrong, though?
Bo Nix was 77% passing last year, man.
In the awful Pac-12 that no longer exists.
He was 72 the year before that.
He had a really, really good year. I don't think he's going to be an NFL quarterback. So you think all of these quarterbacks are going to be fine and dandy and be franchise quarterbacks at the next level?
You question his accuracy.
It was better this past season. The statistics point to that, as you just pointed out. Over the course of his career, he was not an accurate quarterback. He got better. Much better at Oregon, but I'm not betting on him being accurate enough with the football at the next level. I'm not. Sorry. Kenny Pickett was also accurate in college. Look where that got him. Back up for Jalen Hurts with the Eagles.
We drug testing.
What if I'm the one that's right and you're the one that's wrong?
Then I would say, you know what, man? This 77% completion percentage did not translate to the NFL. This 72% that he threw in his junior year did not translate. But I ain't going to sit here and go, hey, man, I don't think the dude's accurate enough to play the next level, when the dude in the last 2 years, 72% or better completing the football. He ain't throwing a bunch of screen passes to the perimeter either. He's throwing the ball down the field too. I ain't gonna let you get my blood pressure up today. I ain't gonna let you do it.
That's your problem. At least you can't say that I'm copying your answer or anything along those lines. But you can write these down and you can come back and revisit them at a different point.
Okay, what? DC Milwaukee says, Ben, sounds like he's doing more with Wiz Khalifa than listening to music with some of these quarterback takes. I think Ben's doing this on purpose, man.
So you think every quarterback in this draft that's projected to go in the first 2 to 3 rounds is going to be all fine and dandy and they're all going to work out? Who don't you like, huh?
I don't really like J.J. McCarthy. I really don't like Drake May.
Why don't you like J.J. McCarthy? Why don't you like Drake May?
Not compared to other dudes. I like Penix. I like Nix. I like Williams. I like Jaden Daniels. I think Matt Jones' quarterback draft was so bad that this quarterback draft is going to even it out. I think there's going to be several guys that's going to be pretty good.
For your sake, I hope that happens.
For my sake.
Well, your quarterback's the crown jewel of them all. Oh, man.
You know, bro, when you wrong, I'm going to be on your neck, Ben.
Okay.
Don't ask for mercy. I'm going to be on your neck.
No, look, here we go. I'll copy somebody else's work. This is from Dane Brugler of The Athletic, the draft guru. He ranked all 300 prospects, and this is his blurb of Bo Nix at Oregon. Nix gets in trouble when he plays loose with his technique and his eyes speed up on him, but he understands where to go with the football. And his scrambling can give defenses fits.
Ben.
Though it feels unlikely that he will never rank among the 15 best quarterbacks in the NFL, he has the tools to become a middle-of-the-road starter. There's an actual football guy with football IQ.
What's wrong with the middle-of-the-road starter?
Nothing.
Okay.
But again, taking him over Jaden Daniels or Caleb Williams or Drake May.
Why are you moving the goalposts? I ain't say anything about taking him over.
I'm not moving the goalposts.
You said you don't think he's going to be good in the
NFL. No, my original point was I would avoid him in the second or third round. That was the first thing I said. You go ahead and draft Bo Nix with your first pick in the second round and see where that gets you. You'll be fired as a GM within 2 years. Drafting Zach Wilson Jr.
Hub City on the text box says, good morning, gents. Wish we could do this 5 days a week. Oh, boy.
Me too, but I'm not good enough for Swain.
Oh, my goodness. Nelson says, since Ben's on tear this morning, I'm curious to hear his thoughts on Joe. I'm not. I don't want to hear your thoughts on Joe.
I already gave my thoughts on Joe. I said there are two quarterbacks I would stay away from, Bo Nix and the one we watched a bunch last year.
I think Joe's going to be finding himself getting drafted 6th or 7th round. When you look at, Mel Kiper has him ranked in terms of the quarterbacks. And so,
am I allowed to say that he's inaccurate with the football?
You can say that.
Okay, thank you.
Probably have a better point saying that Joe's inaccurate rather than a guy who threw 78% from pocket.
And, won't translate to the
NFL. I think
he
broke a record, actually, a national record. But, you know, it's all good. Basketball. Where does Tennessee stand? There's a lot of movement. There's a lot of players. There's a lot of options. A lot of players with Tennessee ties. You had a player yesterday, and we've been kind of waiting on to get into that portal. And boy, did he get into that portal yesterday, and his declaration made it that much more sweet because Chaz Lanier from North Florida, who's originally from Nashville Innsworth High School, do not contact tag when he entered the portal. Average almost 20 points per game. This year, had a huge jump in offensive production this year. NBA talent. But since he looks like they're in position for a number of additions, Ben, give us a rundown on where Tennessee stands with a couple of the post players and a couple of the perimeter players.
Are you sure that you want me to share them? I don't want to
cover basketball. You cover basketball, Ben.
Well, I'm not talking about you. I just
do your job, Ben.
Answer out there.
Do your job.
I don't want to regurgitate anybody's information.
Do your job.
I would be very surprised if Igor Milicic Jr., the transfer from Charlotte, or Felix Akpara, the center from Ohio State, I would be very surprised if they don't end up at Tennessee, quite frankly. I'm very comfortable saying that because there have been tweets and other information out there that alludes to that. If you are a subscriber to GoVols 24/7 and follow along with us on the checkerboard, you've known that since last weekend that Tennessee was in a very good position for both. Those are kind of the two that I'm keeping an eye out on in the immediate future. Cade Tyson is still technically out there, the Belmont transfer guard, and that one becomes more and more interesting by the day, Swain, because I know a lot of people had him pegged for North Carolina. He has a great deal of ties to the state of North Carolina. The Tar Heels are desperate for shooting, and everybody has pegged him for North Carolina, and I'd be surprised if he didn't end up at North Carolina, but for whatever reason, he still has not made that decision, or at least announced it publicly. He was on an official visit at Tennessee, I guess now it was about spring 2 weeks ago.
Yeah, spring and 13th, that weekend.
Yes. So about 2 weeks ago, and he really, really hit it off with the program. I had a great time, really enjoyed himself. Sounds like he really clicked with the program. And then he goes to North Carolina for an official visit that next weekend. And then coming out of that official visit this past Monday, Tennessee went to go visit Cade Tyson on Monday night. And I mean, he's continuing to take visits. He hasn't committed yet. So that name's still kind of out there, but we'll see what happens there. I also don't know, quite frankly, I know this may sound crazy because when the name first emerged, you probably didn't think that this was a realistic possibility, but if you already have Darlin' Stone Dubar in the boat, and if you do end up landing Igor Milicic Jr., you kind of wanted those three along with Tyson because of their shooting. And now you've got two in the boat. Do you really need Cade Tyson?
Yes.
Okay. Well, are you willing to possibly lose Cameron Carr because of that? And also, not only do you have to consider that, and I'm not at all trying to insinuate something when I make that comment, but I do think that is something that you would have to be aware of if you did bring in Cade Tyson with the others. Also, how do the others feel about that? How will Darlin' Stone Dubar feel about it? How will Igor Milicic feel about it? Because Igor is 6'10 and more of a true four, and Cade Tyson is more of a true wing, a two or a three, but they didn't want those guys because of the position that they can fit and fill. They wanted those guys because they can shoot the basketball and they can score the basketball, and then they'll worry about the positions later. It seemed like it was either or to me early this week. They were fine with either. They didn't necessarily have a preference. It was more of who's jumping in the boat first between Igor and Cade, and it seems like Igor is closer to making that decision than Cade is, and you still have to worry about those North Carolina ties. So that name's still out there, still a storyline that people are following. And then, like you mentioned, you had Chaz Lanier from North Florida enter the portal yesterday. He's been going through the draft process for just over a month now. I believe it was March 16th in which he entered the NBA draft. From my understanding, he wants a first-round grade in order to stay in. It's not expected that he is going to get a first-round grade after going through the draft process.
We can help you do
which
that.
Which I believe is – what's that?
So we can help you do that. Rick Barnes can help you.
Absolutely. I think there's proof in the pudding with what Tennessee just did with Dalton Connect. Now, two different players. Dalton, 6 – what was he? 6'6", Dalton was?
Yeah, he's 6'6".
And more of a small forward, played on the wing, whereas Chaz Lanier is 6'4", and more of a true two-guard. But he shoots the lights out of the basketball. Took over 200 three-point attempts this past season, made over 100 of them, and shot 44% from three. That is a ridiculous clip. You're taking over 200 threes in a season, and you made 44% of them. That is a ridiculous number. So he's an elite shooter and one that officially entered the transfer portal yesterday. He's from the Nashville area, played at Innsworth. I believe there's some Tennessee ties there as well that could help Tennessee. And, you know, I believe I said this yesterday with Felix Akpara. There's just too much that makes sense both ways for that marriage not to happen. And I kind of feel the same way with Chaz Lanier. So that's another name to keep an eye on. And then there's also Tucker Anderson, I believe is his name, from Central Arkansas. He is supposed to be here today for an unofficial visit. He was a freshman at Central Arkansas this past year, 6'9", I believe. A little scrawny, needs to add some weight to the bones, but he shot it well as a true freshman, shot 38% from three this past year at Central Arkansas. He's already been on visits to, I saw, Ohio State on his social media, and his mom won two national championships with the Lady Vols under Pat Summitt. So I believe she's going to be in town for a function today, and the plan was for him to join her. So another name to – he may not be on the front burner. He may be on the back burner, but another name that they're – keeping an eye on and possibly pursuing. And in today's game, you can never have enough shooting. So another name to keep an eye out for.
That's why Rick Barnes said, yeah, we got people calling us.
Yep.
That's why.
Well, they had post players calling them before Tobe and Jonas entered the portal that they were telling no, because they had Tobe and Jonas and JP coming back. There's no room for anybody. They were telling post players no before Tobe and Jonas decided to enter the portal. And then I don't want to say that they were scrambling, but they did have to get their ducks in a row after Tobe and Jonas entered the portal, because it caught them off guard. And then Felix Akpara became available when he entered the portal on Saturday. They're making that one happen. And it looks like that one's going to happen, I should say. And Akpara, Estrella, you have them at the five. Probably would like to add a fourth big if possible. I'm not sure what quality of big they would add or what experience, maybe I should say, instead. But I do think in an ideal world, if the perfect one becomes available, they'd like to add a fourth one.
Bring them in. Bring them all in. Basketball team. Frost is going to be, I think it's going to be sick. 865-255-03. Got a good question on here on our Beatty Chevrolet text box about James Pierce. He'll be in the first round next year. Swain Event, fueled by Dead End Barbecue. Stay with us. Fellas, there's a lot of people talking about testosterone, but do your homework and go to a provider that you can trust. I recommend Low T Center. It's where I get my levels checked. At Low T Center, they make it quick and easy. You walk in, take a simple blood test, and you'll get your results back in about 25 minutes. If you've been feeling tired, grumpy, have noticed weight gain, loss of muscle mass, you may have low T levels. Go to lowtcenter.com to book your appointment online. That's lowtcenter.com. Low T Center, reinventing men's healthcare. When you are craving some quality barbecue, there's only one place to go. Dead End Barbecue. Dead End Barbecue has been featured on ESPN's Taste of the Town, the first barbecue restaurant on the SEC Network, CBS Sports, Headline News Tailgate Show, Amazon Prime's The Restaurant Comeback, Food Paradise, and named one of the top 100 barbecue restaurants in America. The search is over. Dead End Barbecue is located on 3621 Sutherland Avenue right here in Knoxville. You can even have it delivered right to your door through Chow Now. Visit their website at deadendbbq.com. Dead End Barbecue. The search is over.
Hey, Vol Nation. This is Charlie Pratt, financial representative with Modern Woodmen and MWA Financial Services. Modern Woodmen has been touching lives and securing futures for 140 years. Being born and raised here in East Tennessee, I'm honored to help East Tennesseans in all phases of life with retirement planning, investments, and life insurance. A big win on Saturday starts with preparation early in the week. A secure financial future starts with planning today. Contact my office today at 865-919-6468 to review your financial plan and make sure you are on track for success. As always, go Vols.
Registered representative and investment advisor, representative offering securities and advisory services through NWA Financial Services, Inc., a wholly owned subsidiary of Modern Woodmen of America, member of FINRA, SIPC.
Good morning, Swain Event fam. America's College Sports Town has everything you could want in a lifestyle. You want a cottage home in town or a downtown condo? Or maybe you're looking for a home with a pool or a lake property. Well, whatever you want, the Knoxville area has it. And I'm ready to assist when it's time to find what you're looking for. So give me a call. Jennifer Morris, 865-694-5904. Or email me at jennifermorris865@gmail.com. And check out my website at nextmovesmokymountains.com. Go Vols!
Baby Chevrolet saves you money. 2.9% APR or $5,000 total value on new Silverado 1500s. New Equinox with 1.9% APR plus no payments for 90 days or $2,500 total cash allowance at Baby Chevrolet.
Just because you can't call in doesn't mean that you have to sit on the sideline. Impact the show with a text box. It's part of the free Swain Event app.
Homeowners, very, very important. You have until the end of the month, April 30th, take advantage of what Hiller has going on right now. Special discount, $1,500 off select new HVAC system. Also, whole home water filtration and descalers, or select new whole home generators. For more details, visit the website. HappyHiller.com. That is Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical. On the Betty Chevrolet text box. Good question here from Deezy. Other than Pierce, which Vols upperclassman do you think has the highest draft stock going into next year's draft? I'm thinking Samson, if he consistently shows the Kamara-like flashes he has previously. Yeah, Samson is poised for a huge year. My only concern is him just having too many carries and too much pressure on him because of the young backs. And hopefully those young backs can get healthy. So that way, Dylan Sampson doesn't have to have too much wear and tear on him. But Sampson, yo, man, I've been on Sampson and his ability since the first scrimmage. Y'all heard me come on this show after the first scrimmage and was like, "Yo, he's special, he's different," and. Had some flashes his freshman year, but last year really saw that. And this year, confidence is at an all-time high. He is one of the most important leaders on this football team, not just offense, but on the whole entire football team. He's comfortable addressing the team. He's on the leadership council. Like, yo, I would not be surprised if Dylan Sampson has an Alvin Kamara type of year. Would not be surprised at all. That's his favorite player. That's what he looks up to. Would not be surprised. But James Pierce, you know, got a chance to spend some time with him yesterday. And man, I'm just so happy for him. This is a big year for him. Big year. His life is about, if he continues to play the way he played last year, his life is about to change. Like, he is about to change. And this team has a chance to be really, really good. And that was one of the messages that Ramon was sharing with the team is, you know, we live in a day and age where there's more opportunities for you to be an individual and worry about your own personal brand and be selfish. And there's a time and place to be selfish, but there's also a time and place not to be selfish. And you have to know when to be what. Ramon mentioned the fact that when the Steelers, when he was really, really good, I think it was 2009, I think he said. You have to tell me what year that was, Ben. But one year they won't say like won 12 games, was really, really good that year. But that
I think
year
that was the season they lost to the Packers in the Super Bowl.
Okay.
But that was the 09 season and the Super Bowl was played technically in 2010.
And so Ramon was using that season as an example, like, yo, that year we had a bunch of Pro Bowlers. The energy kind of gravitates towards winners. And if you just focus on winning, keeping the main thing the main thing, guys, if you just focus on winning, everybody's going to eat. Like, everybody's going to shine. And I remember that was the message that we had from 05 to 06 when we had – I probably played the most talented team in Tennessee in 05. It was the worst team from a win-loss record standpoint. One thing we learned from 05 to 06 was, yo, let's not worry about the NFL draft. Let's just worry about winning. And if we do that, everything will take care of itself. Well, 07 draft, we had seven dudes drafted. Had a couple of first-rounders. We would have had eight. If it wasn't, you know, if it wasn't for me, my fault, we didn't have eight. But we focused on winning, period. And if this team just does that, there'll be some guys that will kind of piggyback on the attention that James Pierce is going to get this year. Because everybody's going to be here watching James Pierce this season. So whether you're on offense or defense or whatever, like, you can capitalize on those scouts who are coming to see James Pierce. They're going to see you. Like, when Sean Payton came to see the Tennessee Vols in Pro Day, he didn't come to see Alvin Kamara, but he saw Alvin Kamara when he was here looking at other guys. And that's how Alvin Kamara ended up with the Saints. That's the opportunity that these guys have this year. Does the possible basketball roster remind you of UConn's from this year? Hell no. Chip Payne? No, sir. Mm-mm. No, it does not remind me. No, I don't. No, sir. Nelson from Jackson says, I know this is a little off topic. What's the deal? What was the deal with Santi this past season? He never got it going.
He just simply never got it going. It was just an off year for him. I had many, many conversations with him off to the side at practice and over the course of the season. When you see them covering a team, nothing ever seemed like something was truly wrong. If something was truly wrong, then he did a great job of hiding it. I just think that obviously his role looked different with Dalton coming in and some other offensive pieces, both coming in and other guys on the team taking a step forward. And I do think it was maybe a struggle early on for him to figure out how he can fit in offensively. But other than that, I mean, the shot just didn't fall. There's really no rhyme or reason. Santi was the same Santi, personality-wise, throughout the season that I had seen the last several years. So that is a question that I think everybody wished they knew the answer to, because every aside from a role changing offensively, himself personally was the exact same person. And I think it's just as simple as the shot didn't fall this season. And obviously he lost confidence over the course of the season, but it stemmed from shots just simply not falling. That's the best answer I've got for you.
Remember, you know, he lost his grandfather too. Grandmother, I'm sorry. Lost his grandmother. Dalton lost his grandfather during the season. Santi lost his grandmother. And so that has to impact you some, too. And I think that with the new role, that's why we just saw a different Santi. But for Santi, all he cared about was winning, and this team won more than any other team he's been on in Tennessee. And I know he was thrilled with that. But everybody wants to play well and win. Like if you can have your pick, like you want to be the reason why your team wins, and you want to win a lot. Like that's the most ideal scenario. But if you can't be the reason why the team wins, and you're not having a great season statistically, then the next best thing is your team winning. The worst thing is your team losing. That's the worst scenario. Because, like, especially in a place where winning is a priority, where expectations are high, like it is here in Tennessee. 865-255-03. This possible basketball roster will not remind me of UConn.
Yeah, I don't know what Chip Payne was talking about.
Just a question.
No, for sure. Maybe a little more detail, Chip Payne. How do you, I guess, what was on your mind when you asked that question? Was there a particular thing that you're seeing with this possible Tennessee roster that sparked that question? Speaking of questions, the person who has answers for everybody's questions about real estate in the Knoxville area is Jennifer Morris. And Swain and myself may be snipping at each other about quarterback draft picks. And with the draft being tonight, tomorrow, and Saturday, drafting Jennifer Morris as your realtor is the best decision that you can make, because Caleb Williams will let down the Chicago Bears, and the Bears are going to need a lot of beers because he's not a true leader. Jennifer Morris is a true leader, and she won't let you down. She will not be a bust of a draft pick. She will handle all of your real estate needs the exact way you need them to be dealt with and handled. So please, she has helped my family. I know she has helped other families, especially Swain Event families, and they've all walked away very, very happy with Jennifer and the process and the human element. I talk about it all the time. That's the best thing that Jennifer does, in my opinion. She does her actual job extremely well, obviously, but the human element and her compassion and how she helps throughout the process is the best part about working with Jennifer, and I cannot recommend her services enough. She will take the stress away during a very stressful time. So please reach out to Jennifer Morris of Keller Williams Realty for all of your real estate needs.
You know, it's a full moon. It's a full moon. It's a beautiful moon this morning. You know, I'm gonna chalk that up to a full moon. What you been on today, Ben? Brandon Lucky says Chip Payne is on the same stuff Ben is on. Hey man, we're gonna start drug testing around here.
You can't drug test until you know whether I'm right or wrong. Technically, you can disagree with me, but you don't know whether I'm right or wrong yet.
I'll drop off a cup at your house, man. I need you to put a sample in there.
At least you can't say that I'm copying your answers.
No, can't say that. Can't say that at all. How about Kim Caldwell? She hitting that portal.
What about Kim Caldwell?
She's hitting that portal.
Two very nice portal additions from the ACC so far. On top of the coaches, we can't talk about Lady Vol basketball. We need to call in our Lady Vol basketball correspondent, Brian Hunsucker. So call Brian up right now. Let him get in here and give us the inside scoop on Lady Vol's basketball recruiting, because Kim Caldwell is on fire in the portal.
I'm ready
for the two ACC pickups she's added.
Well, I'm ready for her to get some guards who can shoot. That's what I'm ready for. She got some athletic bigs. I'm ready to see these guards we're going to bring in. That's going to shoot, play some defense. Nice start right there for Kim Caldwell, which I'm not surprised Tennessee is going to start off hot in the portal. I think when you made the decision to get rid of Kelly and bring in Kim, you had to make the decision to give her the support that she needed from an NIL standpoint to go and pursue the players she needed to be successful, along with her system. It's no different than Josh Heupel. Hey, we got this system, but we need players for this system, and it ain't going to be free. And here we are with a roster that can do some damage in the SEC on the football field this season. So, but you gotta back that coach up. And I think we're doing that with Kim Caldwell. But I want to see the guards we bring in that's gonna shoot, man. Whew. I'm ready for that. I'm ready. What a day for Ben McKee. What a day. This might be your best day of radio or your freaking worst. We're going to find out.
Well, here's the good news because the basketball intel I provided, that is my job and what I know, as is the case with baseball. And that's another thing you need to remember. I'm just a baseball guy. I don't know anything about football. I'm barely getting by with basketball. I'm not. I don't have the badges. I don't have the requirements necessary to talk about football in a intellectual way. So you just kind of take it with a grain of salt. You know, that's not my cup of tea. You'll be shocked to know I'm not an NFL draft expert. But those are my opinions from based on draft things that I hear as I am consuming media.
Oh, so you copied them. Copied them.
In a sense, yeah. Okay. I did. Yep.
Okay. I see what you're saying.
I'm just a baseball guy. Just trying to get by in this dog eat dog world.
When is AJ Russell gonna play again?
Early May.
Was a little kid that was at the LeBron game back in the day? Like looking up at the
squinting
at the scoreboard or Jameis Winston. That's me looking at the calendar.
He's been throwing the last couple of weeks, but an early to mid-May return was always the target. I have not heard of AJ having any setbacks. Again, he had his MRIs that weekend of the Sweet 16 and the Elite Eight about a month ago now, where the tendons and the ligaments were all still intact, but was going to be a little bit longer of a process to get him back because this is the second time he's dealt with soreness and tightness this season. So 4 to 6 weeks is what I heard originally. And I believe we are at I believe this upcoming week will be the fourth week of that 4 to 6 week range. I'm not expecting him back next week, but I think as you get maybe to Vanderbilt, Mother's Day weekend, May 10th, 11th, 12th, maybe in that time frame, maybe that next weekend when they come back home and play South Carolina, probably somewhere in there. Certainly need to work him back in before you get off to Hoover and into postseason play. I would not expect him to come back and be a starter, because I don't think he's going to have enough time to build his arm back up, and B, because he has already dealt with essentially the same thing twice. I think that they will be cautious with how they use him even once he has returned. So I still think he can be a very, very pivotal piece to the puzzle. It's just going to look in a much different way than you anticipated going into the season. But as somebody in the program told me coming out of the weekend this past weekend, let's get AJ Russell back and we've really got a chance. And when they say we've really got a chance, they're not talking about hosting a regional or super regional or making it to Omaha, no, giving them a chance to win a national championship because Tennessee may, if a couple of pitchers continue to click and you add A.J. Russell to the mix, who was expected to be Tennessee's best pitcher this season, then all of a sudden, if you have your pitching staff coming together at the right time with arguably the best offense in the country, you can go win a national championship.
How about we just go do it then? It sounds pretty easy. Sounds pretty easy. Go do it. Nathaniel says, Ben, you mean you don't work for a fantasy football company and only sometimes watch film? That kind of draft expert?
Hey, I do know not to run into a stacked 11-man box. I can tell you that.
Bruce in South Carolina says, can't listen to the whole show today. Fixing to walk. He's at the beach. Thanks a lot, Bruce. Thanks a lot for just rubbing it in.
Attending Bruce, I'll try to days make my music.
Ben will have notifications on during baseball. Yeah, thanks a lot, Bruce. Tough. Thanks for just letting us know that you're on vacation.
Yeah, and I'll make sure that I don't have any typos in my tweets, since I apologize that you'll have my notifications on. It's going to be a very busy weekend. I think it'll be a very busy weekend because of the NFL draft and Tennessee baseball and also Tennessee basketball in the transfer portal as they piece their roster together. So I apologize in advance if I'm dinging your phone too much, Bruce, and I'll make sure that I don't have any typos in my tweets so I don't confuse you either.
Did we get, or do we get the sweep this weekend?
Of Missouri?
Yeah, fool. Who else am I talking about?
Could we talk about Tennessee softball? I didn't know if you're talking about
softball one time in the show.
Well, we just brought it up. Tennessee basketball targets. I didn't know if you're talking about a clean sweep of them getting them in the boat. I do think that they sweep Missouri. Missouri just lacks a lot of talent. Now, Tennessee better show up ready to play because Kerrick Jackson has those guys playing hard. They just lack talent, quite frankly. So they have actually won more SEC games already than was anticipated. They are 6-12 in the SEC, and going into the season, people who cover the SEC and college baseball as a whole at the national level wondered if Missouri would even get 4 SEC wins, and they're at 6.
Ooh!
A couple of weekends left to play, so
watch out, man.
They are playing hard. They are playing together, so Tennessee better show up ready to play, or they'll sneak up and get one. I'd be absolutely stunned if Missouri won the series, but if you want to complete the sweep, which you need to do in order to make sure that you continue to put yourself in position to be a top 8 seed in the tournament and be a super regional host if you make it out of regional weekend, then you got to stack wins where you can get them. And this is a weekend where Tennessee should be able to pick up 3 of them. So it's not a guarantee that they'll sweep. I think that they will sweep because Tennessee has overwhelming talent. But they better show up ready to play or Missouri will bite them in the butt at least once this weekend if they don't.
LC Voss has been, do you think we are kind of following the plan LSU had with their pitchers last year? They really came on into the season and really benefited from the big ballpark in Omaha. Obviously, I know we don't have the freak on the front end. I was thinking that when I was reading it, but LC, that's what LC Vol had to say to you.
No, that's a good thought. I don't know that Tennessee is following the plan per se. It's just kind of been dealt the hand that they've been dealt with in terms of the pitching staff not quite coming together the way you anticipated with A.J. Russell. You thought he was going to be your game one starter, be one of the best pitchers in the SEC, be your own best pitcher, and injuries have gotten in the way of that. And then you've had to throw transfers into a role, A.J. Causey, Chris Stamos, and some weekends they've been good, some weekends they haven't been good. Xander Seacrest, some weekends he's been good, some weekends he hasn't been good. There's been some bullpen arms who have been inconsistent. So I don't know that they're purposely following the plan per se, but they've been thrown into a similar situation of they're just trying to piece it together. And yes, LSU had Paul Skeens, but even with Paul Skeens and with Dylan Cruz in that lineup last year, they don't win it in Omaha without a couple of bullpen arms stepping up and delivering big time performances when it mattered most. And Tennessee will need a Nate Snead or a situation like Marcus Phillips at Kentucky, AJ Russell getting back into the mix. They're going to need some guys who aren't firmly in the mix right now to step up and be ready when the postseason gets here and deliver a strong performance. And if they do that, then I mean, they absolutely could win it all. The good news is that pretty much the whole country is lacking pitching. It's really weird. There's not a team really in the country that has just an extraordinary amount of pitching depth. Arkansas can have a piece of that conversation, but there's a whole lot of teams throughout the country trying to search for pitching. And Tennessee has some pieces that other teams don't, but it's got to get them to click when it matters most.
Well, Ben, we will see you this weekend. See you around this weekend.
You will?
I don't think I really want to anymore.
I don't want to see you.
I thought I wanted to before the show, but I'm questioning that now. know what I'm going to do with you, man. You really outdone yourself today.
Well, the good news is that between now and the next time you get to talk, you get to spend 9 hours with Josh Ward, who has far better takes than me. So that'll get you back on track.
Oh, no, man. Y'all are neck and neck right now. Neck and neck. Neck and neck. Nah, I'm just kidding. Well, hey, man, we'll see. Somebody has to stink in the NFL draft. Somebody has to be right. Somebody has to be wrong. And in a couple months, we'll find out. Hard to know. Even when those names are selected tonight, and you know what situation they're going to go to. Still got to go out there and play this fall. So we want to know the answer, Ben, at least for a couple of months. Boy, I don't know what I'm going to do with you, though. I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go to GoVols 247. I'm going to read your work. That's what I'm going to do. It's better to read it than to hear you talk. I'm going to read your work. I'm going to have to listen to you. Try to throw shade on my Bears. They coming, man. Don't be afraid. They coming. We coming.
I want Caleb Williams to work out. I have a vested interest in the Chicago Bears.
No. Now, you just root for Kari. Don't root for the Bears. You just root for Kari. That's what you do. You can do that. You don't have to root for the team. You root for the player. You just do that. For Ben McKee, GoVols 247, I'm Jason Swain. Hope everyone has a fabulous rest of your week. Great Thursday. Tuesday morning, we'll be back 8 a.m. talking about a big orange sweep. Hopefully, for players entering or exiting the transfer portal, entering the Tennessee athletic program. Hopefully, we'll be able to talk about that next week here on the Swain Event. Peace and love. We are out.